Welcome to the podcast of the Sunday morning worship service of the Heartland Church of the Nazarene. We're a community of faith learning to love God and our neighbors as ourselves. Welcome home. Today's sermon text is from Psalm 148. The passage will be on the screen for you, or if you like, please turn to Psalms in your Bible. Praise the Lord from the heavens, praise him in the heights, praise him all his angels, praise him all his host, praise him sun and moon, praise him all you shining stars, praise him you highest heavens and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He established them forever and ever. He fixed their bounds, which cannot be passed. Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and frost, stormy wind fulfilling his command. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, creeping things and flying birds, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and women alike, old and young together. Let them praise the name of the Lord. For his name alone is exalted. His glory is above earth and heaven. He has raised up a horn for his people, praise for all his faithful, for the Lord, for the people of Israel who are close to him. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Sam. That is the word of the Lord for us today. Well, this week, like I told the kids, is the first week of Christmas. So we've had Advent, right, which has prepared us for Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. And all through Advent, we talk about anticipating the birth of Christ. We anticipate that. We are hopeful for God's birth of salvation into the world. But we've also said all throughout Advent, and I say this every year, I think, is that Advent is also about anticipating Christ's second coming. That one day that Christ is going to come back from where he is sitting at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. And he's going to come and he's going to restore and redeem the entire world. It really doesn't, we can't really, I don't think anyway, anticipate Christ's coming at Christmas in its fullest sense without also looking forward to Christ's coming again. We need both sides of this story because just like we need Easter along with Christmas, we need Lent and Advent, we need the resurrection, and we need the ascension. All of those things come together to tell a coherent story about what God is doing in the world for us. But I think it makes sense, just on a whole different level, for us to want to anticipate Christ's coming again. Because we feel this every day. We feel the brokenness of our world, right? The list of things that are wrong, it would be too great to tell. But we have sickness and natural disasters and plagues of biblical proportion known as coronavirus, right? And we have death almost everywhere we look, either from people who are dying from sickness or from car crashes or natural disasters or all of those things. And so it's a present reality that we know that the world that we love being a part of, God's good world, the world that he created and stepped back and said it's very, very good, that it's broken and that it's not right. And we can feel it in every fiber of our being that things are not right. And we long for the day when all of those things will be made right. And so as Christians, as people of hope, we hope and we wait for Christ's coming again. Now you might say like, this is Christmas time, right? We sang Joy to the World on Christmas Eve. We lit a candle off of the Christ candle after we lit that, and we passed it around, and everybody held with them the light of Christ's love and faithfulness to the world, the beginning of God's salvation for all of us for all of time. And so why now are we talking about like the brokenness of the world, like the sickness and the death that we all intimately feel? Well, I think it's into that same world, this same world that we inhabit right now, that today's passage of scripture is written. It's a psalm, right? Psalm 148. And I have to believe that the psalmist himself was not naive about the brokenness of his own world. I also have to believe that the brokenness that was inherent in the psalmist's world was the same as ours. They experienced war and sickness and death, famines and natural disasters, storms that wiped out crops, people dying unexpectedly. Now, maybe in our day, we've become a little bit more proficient at hurting each other. And on that side of things, we've become a little more proficient at healing as well. But I think our world and the world of the psalmists is very similar. That the psalmist now is speaking into this world, and he's doing so with what I think is a tremendous amount of courage. I think in the midst of a broken and, sinful world, and one where there's so much mourning and pain, that it is, well, it takes some guts to proclaim, as our psalmist does, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him from the heights, in the heights. I think it takes faith and lots of hope that in the midst of the brokenness, that he can call us, call his community, to enter into just robust praise. Now, I think this is kind of he's not asking us, the psalmist isn't, to praise the Lord. These are imperative verbs. Like, it's like, you there, you praise the Lord. Like, it's not asking, he's telling. He's telling the community. And as we'll see here, it's not just us that he's speaking to, but praise the Lord from the heavens, from him, praise him in the heights, and all his angels, praise him, all his hosts. It is not just humanity that is called to praise God. It's not just people, but it's all of things from all of time. It starts at the very top. It starts in heaven and in everything that is celestial, that God has created, that is not us. The angels and all of the spiritual beings that do God's work in the world. The psalmist is calling them to praise. And then we move forward, and it kind of starts at the top, right? You can't get much higher than heaven if we're thinking like linearly and spatially, right? Starts with heaven. And then it works its all the way down throughout this psalm. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens, you waters above the heavens. Now, in Israel's surrounding area, a lot of people worship the sun and the moon and the stars. And so by the fact that the psalmist is calling these things to offer up praise to God, he's making a very distinctive statement about who is God. At the very root of it, that God is the God of all things, that he spoke the world into existence. You waters above the heavens. Well, that kind of takes us all the way back, as I think this is supposed to Genesis 1:1. If you read, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the imagery there is what they thought. Now, we know a little bit better today that the world was separated. There was a dome of top, which had water in it. And then there was land, and then there was like water in the sea. And so like they couldn't comprehend by the fact that, well, there's space above the earth, or even that the earth was round. Or even that the earth was as big as it is, right? So they just couldn't conceive of that. So they had a very specific idea of what the world looked like. And, well, the psalmist is wanting us to look back to creation, to remember this story of God speaking the world into creation with just his words. This creative and loving act that God uses to make things come into being. It goes a little farther down. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He established them forever and ever and fixed their bounds, which cannot be passed. Now, here's the reason why the psalmist is commanding us to pray. He is commanding us to pray just because they were created. Like, just for the sheer simple fact that the sun and the moon and the stars exist, that the water and the sea and the land beneath our feet exist, is why these things should praise the Lord. If you think about it, If you think about it, let's go forward a little bit. Verse 7 and 8. Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters and all deep. Fire and hail, snow and frost, stormy wind fulfilling his command. I think those things are obviously created by God as well. And I think that if you create something and it does what it's supposed to do, right? Isn't that part of, if it's fulfilling its purpose in the world, wouldn't you see it by that as being kind of its offering of praise? Let me see if this makes sense. That just by being the sun gives praise to God. Just by being the moon gives praise to God because it is what God created it to be. Now we have a hard time with that, especially from this, from the earth, from the deep, fire and hail, snow and frost, the storm and the wind. They don't have brains, right? They don't have a will to offer up praise and thanksgiving to God like we do. But I think it's just in their nature. So what if the sea monsters, the giant whales and the squids, what if they're praising God just by swimming through the ocean? What if the snow is praising God just by falling on the brown and dead winter landscape, sticking to everything, making the world look peaceful and beautiful in a way that only the earth can after a fresh snow? What if the stormy wind is fulfilling its duty to praise God just by being windy, by carrying upon it the moisture from the ocean that comes and drops its water on the ground so the ground can soak it up, so that grass can grow, and the trees can live, so that crops can flourish, so that we can eat? What if the wind, just by picking up seeds and pollen, blowing about, pollinating flowers and planting new plants, what if that's just part of God's, part of these creatures' praise and worship to God? We'll go a little bit farther, and I find it really interesting. Look, we go from the depths, from the snow and the frost, and they'll talk about cattle and stuff. We skipped a couple of verses, but then you'll find that, like, if we're going top to bottom, like, below the wind, below the fire, below the snow, is us. Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and women alike, old and young together, let them praise the Lord. If the wind's praise is just by being the wind, and if the snow is just praises God by being the snow, then I got to think that we, just by being who God has created us to be and to do the things that God has created us to do, well, that's part of who we are. That's part of our praise to God. Now, here's the thing. I think we struggle mightily with what we were created to do. We were created to love God with everything that we have and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And I think we get really, well, we find that hard because I think we've been told over and over again, especially here in America, that we are what we are because we have made ourselves. We tell our kids, you can be anything you want as long as you work hard. And I don't want you to stop telling your kids that, right? That's not the point. But I think we buy into this story that says, God didn't make us. We made ourselves. And so all of the works of my hands, all of my accomplishments, well, that brings praise and glory to me. Yeah. Now there's an appropriateness to that. If you're a woodworker and you make a fine table, yeah, that's appropriate. So long as you understand the gifts that God has given you to do that. See, when you use something for a purpose that it isn't intended for, ultimately it breaks. And it's unable to praise its creator, right? So like, well, think about this. You go to the beach and you take a little plastic shovel with you, right? To make a sandcastle. And that shovel may be, if it's well made, thick plastic, it may be perfectly suited for the job that you are putting it to do, right? But if you bring that back home and we get a heavy wet snow and you take that little shovel of sand, to make sandcastle out of, and you try to shovel your driveway with that shovel, two things are going to happen. It's going to break because it wasn't created to do that. And you're going to be really, really in pain, right? Like, I can just talking about that, my back hurts. Right? I just can imagine. Or like you have a screwdriver. You've got a screw that you need to drive into something. You're building something and you don't have the exact right build. You know how you have like all those little different screwdriver bits and all the screws are different. And like if you don't get the right one, it's too pointy or not pointy enough. And you get your drill and you're like, and it just, and it just strips the whole thing out, right? You've experienced this, yes. You feel my pain because this happens every time. Yeah. You're not using the tool, the proper tool for the proper job, and it cascades into a chain of brokenness, right? Because pretty soon, the screw head is completely stripped. Maybe even the bit, if you buy cheap ones like I do, is mangled and is unsuited. And you are unable to get that screw either in or out. And maybe that's not bad if it's like on the side of a barn, right? The worst thing that happens is maybe you rip your pants on it walking by the next time. But if it's in something different, like in your car, like that part falls off. And then, you're out thousands of dollars. Or like it makes the thing unusable. You and I, who were created for a specific purpose, to love God with all that we are and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And when we don't do those things, as we so often don't, we end up, instead of praising the Lord along with all of the rest of the created order, we end up causing a string of brokenness everywhere we go. Well, there's good news, I promise. The psalm ends with this. He raised up a horn for his people. Praise for all his faithful, for the people of Israel who are close to him. Praise the Lord. Now, a horn for people is a metaphor. It's kind of an image of God providing strength and nearness for God's people. God has created us to do a specific task, and part of that is when we fulfill that, we are offering praise and thanksgiving to God. And when we don't, we're causing brokenness. But God hasn't, like, rejected us because of that. God hasn't hit the giant cosmic reset button and started all over again. He didn't do that with creation, and he doesn't do that with you. Instead, he raises up a horn for his people. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And in God's faithfulness, when we decide that we are going to use the tool of our body and our person in a way that it's not meant to be used and we cause brokenness everywhere, God still has come to us, offering grace and forgiveness, even restoration. He takes that broken snow shovel, sand shovel, and fixes it. And says, only use this at the beach. And then get you a snow shovel. Or he takes the head of that screw and makes it good again. So that you can either take it out or put it in. He takes the brokenness that we have caused because we have not done and been who we should be. And his ever great faithfulness remains with us And our response always should be, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for his goodness. Praise the Lord for his faithfulness. Praise the Lord for his restoration. Praise the Lord for his redemption for you and I. Praise the Lord for being Emmanuel, God with us. So I hope, as we continue Christmas, as we look forward to the new year, with all of our hopes and dreams for it, that we would enter it in praise. Even if you don't feel like it. But that you would constantly be seeking to ask God to help you function in the way that God has created you to do. To love him with all that you have, and to love your neighbor as yourself. The psalmist wants us to praise God, and that's more than just with our lips. He wants us to praise God by being the people he has called us to be. Let's pray. Dear Lord, it's hard sometimes to know what you've created us for and, how to do it and have the strength to do it and all of those kinds of things. Lord, you have called us to praise you just by the fact that you have, that you have created us. Lord, we ask that in the coming weeks and in the coming year that you would continue to, that you would continue to be Emmanuel, God with us. That you would help us to learn and understand and to practice loving you with all that we have and to love our neighbor as ourselves. That you would help us to learn and understand and practice to be the people that you have called us to be. And Lord, we know, we confess that we are going to fail at that. And we're going to fail often. We ask that you would continue to be Emmanuel, God with us. Even in those failures, that you would come to us and you would say, I still love you. Now get up and try again. In all of that, in the success and in the failure, we ask that you would help us to do what we were created to do, and that is to praise you with all that we have. Thank you for being Emmanuel, God with us. Pray in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our Sunday morning worship service. For more information about the Heartland Church of the Nazarene, please visit heartlandnaz.org.